There's a change happening in the way we live, the way we work, the way we spend our money and make our decisions. We are evolving to be more conscious in our actions in a way that serves the world and makes it a better place. Welcome to The Ethical Evolution. The Ethical Evolution podcast is brought to you by the Ethical Change Agency. I'm Bindi, CEO and founder, and I am honoured to bring you the stories of those who create change through paying it forward and giving back. Ethical business owners and holistic healers who are determined to create collective change in the world. Once we have a change in consciousness and through collective change, we can become one. My next guest reached out to me online to be part of the podcast. When we started chatting, she shared her excitement and love of the show. And within minutes, I knew we were both exactly in the right place and time. Alexi Bracey is a thriving as you age coach based in Canada. Alexi's cancer diagnosis saved her life because of her tenacity and determination. Spending hours doing research at libraries and bookstores, she conquered cancer without drugs, surgery, or any medical intervention within a year. She spent the last 20 years learning all she could about health, nutritionally, emotionally, and environmentally. A recent trip to a nursing home changed her direction when she saw firsthand the devastating effects of dementia on some of the residents. No eye contact, no interaction, cutting up their food and feeding them. Even more shocking was that some of those residents were younger than Alexi. Today, she educates people that dementia can be prevented, stopped, and in some cases, reversed. In our discussion, we talk about aging and retirement and how our attitudes and language need to change, along with the food and care provided for the elderly. Welcome, Alexi, to The Ethical Evolution.
Thank you so much. I'm just delighted to be here.
I'm so glad you could join me this morning as well. Now, you're coming to us from Toronto. Can you tell us about the work that you do and how you got into it?
Well, I originally changed my focus. Instead of saying I was diagnosed with cancer, I say cancer saved my life. Mm. And by that, I mean it shifted my career. I was a regular chef to one of a plant-based chef. And then I just totally spent the last 20 years focusing on everything holistic, about holistic health, from nutrition to environment to emotions. And then I had another very meaningful, heart-wrenching experience at a nursing home where I saw in a dining room where women were had to be shown visually what they were going to eat. There was no eye contact, no dialogue. Some of the food had to be cut up. Some were being fed. Some were feeding themselves like a three-year-old. And they were various forms of dementia. And some of them were younger than me. And yeah. I thought, I had never experienced it before. I had heard of friends whose husband or parent had dementia. And I thought, this is ridiculous. And so now you hear of these horror stories because, you know, nursing homes and seniors' residents are closed and the residents have to eat on by themselves. There's no community gatherings or anything. And so you get a phone call that's saying your mother just died of dementia in a nursing home and you couldn't even be with her. And I'm thinking, okay, so what are you going to do? So should this happen down the road that you're not in the same boat or that you have the loved one who is there? And it's all about lifestyle habits and dementia, most people don't know, can be stopped, prevented, and in some cases reversed. So I'm on a mission just to make dementia prevention a household word because it can happen.
Yeah. And is it something that you're seeing is kind of becoming a bit of a growing epidemic over time?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, it is estimated that 50% of the world's population will die of neurological disorders.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's absolutely horrific. And there are many factors, but the two key leading factors, according to Dr. Klinghardt, who's a world-renowned authority, is Wi-Fi and glyphosates. And glyphosates is the active ingredient used by Roundup.
Yeah, I have heard that a lot, actually. And that's one of the reasons I'm actually on a whole organic diet.
For sure.
So, I mean, obviously, you're looking at, with your background, you're looking at diet and lifestyle as being, you know, some of the key indicators that we need to change to eliminate this chance of us getting dementia. What kind of changes are you recommending people make?
Well, definitely organic.
Yep.
And definitely foods that are heavily sprayed with glyphosates, eliminate those. And, you know, ideally it would be somebody that to be exclusively on a plant-based lifestyle, but for those that don't want to give up their meat, you know, introduce meatless Mondays or have your family go on a challenge with you for 5 weeks or sorry, 5 days or 2 weeks and to eliminate meat and just see how much better you will feel. Your digestion improves, your sleep improves, you may lose some weight. So just make small changes. It doesn't have to be really big. And, you know, obviously it would be best if you could grow your own. Not everybody can do that. But, you know, nutrition really plays the role. And eat foods that support good brain health.
So being plant-based, I mean, we're seeing a lot in the media nowadays, and there was a really popular documentary came out, I think it was last year, that basically showed how powerful you can be on a plant-based diet. And when I watched that, it absolutely blew my mind. Particularly, you know, in the fitness industry, a lot of people think you got to, you know, have so much protein and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I think it was the World's Strongest Man is actually on a plant-based diet.
That's right, exactly.
And I was like, my God, how does that happen? You know, so like that kind of stuff blows my mind. But again, when we look at a holistic diet and having meat, I mean, I tend to take more of a, I mean, I still have meat, but it's usually grass-fed or, you know, that kind of thing. So being really conscious about the choices of what we put in our body, and I do another podcast with my naturopath, and we talk about this all the time. And basically one of her key things is just eat what rots.
That's a good point. And meat that is heavily infused with antibiotics and pesticides will not rot. You know, if you buy an organic peach versus a conventionally grown peach, the organic peach will have rotted in a week's time, whereas the one that is heavily sprayed will still be okay.
So true. Yeah.
You know, I mean, the experts are saying that it is healthier to eat heavily sprayed fruits and vegetables than to eat conventionally grown meat because of the pesticides that are sprayed for their food and the antibiotics that they are fed.
Yeah. And then, you know, when we take that into our bodies, like.
That's right.
We're not designed for that.
No, we're not, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, if nothing else, just minimize and definitely make healthy choices in your meat selection. Absolutely.
So going back to the dementia story and what you saw in nursing homes, I mean, it must be absolutely heartbreaking to see someone you love going through that and not knowing what to do and not knowing that you could actually help make a difference. I think you just feel powerless. Like, what would you recommend to someone who's got a parent or a loved one who's going through this? What would you get them to do?
Well, one thing that has been shown that really makes a difference if they listen to music.
Right.
Especially music from their era of when they were growing up, it lightens them up. It totally makes such a big difference in nursing homes. If you put earphones on, you know, somebody senior, it brings back memories. They end up crying. There's a great movie about this called Alive Inside, and it depicts that very same topic. It's just, you know, and they also say hearing, your hearing loss accelerates dementia. So get your hearing tested, and then, you know, because I like playing the oldies. Like just before I go to bed, I might play, you know, some of the old stuff, and I'll be tapping my feet. I mean, I'm not suffering from dementia, but it brings back really good memories, you know. So music has been always been very powerful anyway. And for seniors or people afflicted with dementia, it brings back those memories.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I mean, I know more recently, since I've been in isolation, as a bit of a pick-me-up every day, I actually put music on before I start my day. And it has changed my whole day. Like, it changes your whole mindset.
And, oh, I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah. So I think just those little things can really, really help. But so you're on a mission to try and basically raise the awareness that we can do something about dementia. How's that going?
Well, you know, it's baby steps. I think COVID, unfortunately, will be more of a wake-up call for a lot of people that have lost, you know, family members in nursing homes or those that are in nursing homes. Because if you have dementia and all of a sudden you're in a nursing home and you have to stay in your room 24/7 and you can't, you know, have your meals with anybody, like, you don't know what's going on. You know? So I think it's definitely raising awareness through COVID, unfortunately, not a good way to educate people. But just through my podcasts and through I have an online program on starting Healthy Mind, Healthy Brain, just to educate people. You don't have to make huge changes. Just a little bit of everything just makes a big difference. Dr. Wallace Nichols coined the word blue mind, and he was a marine biologist, and he recruited ex-marine biologist veterans to help replant the coral reefs in the Caribbean, and they were all suffering from various forms of PTSD. It totally changed their life. Yeah. So Dr. Wallace says, anytime you are on, in, or near water, you are in a semi-meditative state.
Yeah.
So if you think of it, why do people go south in the wintertime to the beaches? Why do people go up to their cottages to water? People like snorkeling, skiing, sailing, power boating, walking in the rain and blowing bubbles in the rain. Why do women like to take baths? Because it puts you in a meditative state. So do the same thing for our seniors, you know, put them in that state where they're more relaxed. You can even play background music with raindrops falling or waves crashing against, you know, the shore, just to put you in that meditative state. And it's something everybody can do, actually, you know.
Yeah.
We need that sort of to unwind, because the opposite of blue mind is red mind, which is that stressful state.
Yeah, and that's really the last thing we want, isn't it? Because, and, you know, I'd say resonate with that, because I grew up in the country and all I yearned for was the water. So isn't it funny? And now, yes, I love taking baths. So, so can you tell us about some of the people that you've helped and the difference it's made?
Well, you know, in various capacities, there was a gentleman. I was executive chef at a well-respected wellness spa in Canada. And through them, I met what was to become a client of mine. And this gentleman called me that his brother had been refused surgery because it was too life-threatening for him because of his weight. And so I took the two of them, both of them in the food industry, on a raw food, plant-based diet for 5 weeks. Now go figure that one.
Wow.
They never complained. Then one gentleman who had the serious health concern lost 45 pounds in 5 weeks, which sounds like a lot, but that was 1/10 of his body weight.
Whoa.
I totally saved his life, no doubt about it.
Wow.
No doubt about it. And then he continued to lose weight and, you know, recouped his health to some degree. I mean, that was just like thinking, like the power of food, and they were willing to do it. But the fact that they were both Italian in the food business and their raw food, not their pasta and you know.
Yeah. Wow.
And then there was a naturopath who had diabetes, and she had to clear that up in order to renew her license. And so I worked with her. It only took 4 weeks for her to reverse her blood sugar to normal. So she was able to get her license.
That's incredible.
You know?
Oh, wow.
You know, it's just, you know, the power of food, but then there's also emotions come into play.
Yeah.
There's an acronym called ACE test, Accelerated Childhood Experiences. It was a study done about 20 years ago on 17,000 professionals by Kaiser Permanente, a well-respected health research company, 10 questions, traumas between the ages of 3 and 18. Things like sexual abuse, verbal abuse, your father was an alcoholic, he beat up your mother, you lost your home, you got kicked out of home. If you scored 2 or more positives out of a possible 10, you have an 80% chance of developing dementia, cancer, diabetes, heart disease after the age of 50.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, we've heard for years that stress kills. Mm. We have to resolve the stress and the bitterness and the anger against somebody who has hurt you. You know, maybe it was your grade 5 teacher. Maybe it was your best friend when you were 11 or whatever. We have to resolve those issues. You know, it doesn't make it right, but it frees you. A great analogy I like to use, 2 prisoners of war are walking down the road to freedom. And the one says to the other, "So did you forgive him?" To which he replies, "No, never." To which the first then says, "Well, then they still have you prisoners in your mind."
Yeah, so true. So true. Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, it makes me think in the last year particularly, I've been doing sound healing. And,
oh, yeah.
And it has absolutely changed my life. So, like, healing that past trauma and even from, you know, previous generations, like, that stuff sticks with you in your energy. And I think that's got a lot to answer for, because that then has a physical manifestation. And when you hang on to that stuff, that's when you get all these things, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of modalities, like the healing, like the water, besides the food, you know, that are very healing. There's just so many different things that we have now to choose from.
Mm. Wow. So there should be no dementia in the future. If we can put all of this in place, this is incredible, Alexi. Now, what's been the biggest challenge in what you do, and how have you overcome it?
Well, people generally don't address or take preventative action about their health until they're diagnosed with something.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's that analogy, oh, when you're 16, I'll never get pregnant, or I'll never be in a car accident, you know? And so then once it happens, then you think, oh my gosh, what am I going to do now? You know, because of my health challenge, obviously this, I'm very conscious of everything related to health, whereas before I wouldn't have been. So had cancer not happened to me, who knows where I would be today? Like, who knows, you know? Because I was the conventional everyday, you know, your doctor says, okay, so I believe it. But unfortunately, doctors don't practice preventative medicine.
No.
They maintain your dis-ease. And every dis-ease has a root cause. And it could be a number of things. It could be poor nutrition, lack of sleep, lack of exercise, mold, parasites, unresolved emotional issues, you know. So you have to get to the root cause in order to, quote, fix the problem. And, you know, natural medicine, holistic medicine has been around for centuries, whether it's allopathic or Chinese or, you know, holistic, you know, it's been proven without side effects.
Mm. And again, this leads me back to another podcast that I do with my naturopath, and we talk about functional medicine. So
exactly.
And having those three legs of the stool. So one's your environment, one's your mind and your well-being, and the other is obviously your food and your physical being. So with those three together, getting to the root cause, we actually get to the root of disease.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, 100%. Mm.
So, yeah, we're so on the same page here.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So can you define for me what ethical means to you?
Well, ethical is, I don't know, like you could say morality, walking your talk, really making a difference in some capacity. Like, for example, you would never find me in McDonald's.
Right.
No, that would not be ethical, besides the fact I wouldn't go there anyway, but, you know. But like, you know, really walking your talk and really striving to make a difference in some capacity, whatever you are passionate about, not just talking about it, but like really having an impact, not to tap myself on the shoulder, but an impact because I want to see changes in people's lives. because I've seen it myself. I've experienced it or shown others to do it. And it's so doable. And it feeds my soul. It feeds their soul. And for me, it's a way to experience gratitude on the nth degree. You know, you're grateful that you educated people, that you showed them another way, that you made a difference. That's what I guess I could say ethical is, a combination of a whole bunch of little things.
I love that. Absolutely love that. And it's the same for me. obviously, the mission of collective change is really what this is all about. And exactly what you said is that in a nutshell. I got a real big question for you now, Alexi, and I can't wait to hear what your answer is to this. What's the change you'd like to see in the world, and how can we bring it to life?
Well, I would really like to see dementia prevention, a household world, and really minimize nursing homes and retirement homes. Because, you know, European culture, your aging parents stayed with you. It's more of a North American thing because everybody's too busy to look after mom and dad, or let's put them in a nursing home.
Mm.
I mean, in Europe, that's like unheard of. I come from a European background, and my father was not well in his latter years. And I know his friends would say to him, he never said it to me, but in conversation, I got that feeling, why don't you stay with your daughter? Because that is what you did with your parents, you know. But in North America, we're so busy with our lives, with stuff and going to lessons and taking courses and driving and whatever. Our parents are sort of left by the wayside.
Mm.
Whereas, you know, they made a lot of sacrifices for you. Respect them.
Yeah. I
mean, you know, they gave you life.
Yeah. I try to project forward to the future, and I think – a nursing home is the last place I'd want to be in my final years. And it's something I wouldn't want to see my parents go into either. I'm not a fan of them.
No, me neither.
And really just the whole energy of them. Like when you go into one, it's just such a depressing place.
I know. It's just like people are sitting around waiting to die.
Yeah, pretty much.
I know. Just, you know, they have some senior residences in Europe where they have chicken coops and everybody's looking after the chicken coops, or they introduce kittens into the nursing home and everybody has to look after kittens. So it gives them a purpose. I mean, the reason the blue zones, the five communities on the planet that are the longest living people with a sharp mind and agile body, is their sense of purpose and community.
Yeah. 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 And without that, what is there?
I know. I mean, you hear so often when people retire, what do I do now? I don't have purpose in my life anymore.
Mm. Yeah. And it's interesting because I look at my parents, and my father was a mechanic for over 30 years, and he's retired now, and he does woodwork. He you know, helps in the community. He goes to a men's shed and he learns things still at 78.
Oh, you have to. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can agree with you more.
And I think, you know, having that purpose and having a passion for something, no matter what age you are, just lights you up and keeps you alive.
I know. It just keeping your mind sharp, and you're doing something with your hands, with your mind, and you're really enjoying it.
Mm. Yeah. I think no matter what age we are, we've got to do that, and that's really important.
Oh, yeah, for me, like retirement, how do you spell that? You know, retire from what, you know?
Yeah, like, it's something we need to change our mindset on, I think. And it's really, I think it's an evolution, really. It's not retirement. We're not retiring from anything. We're just moving into a new stage of being, basically,
mm-hmm.
where we can be more ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And you're not under pressure for timelines and, do this, do that, and scheduling, whatever. It's a time to take it easier. You know, you may work just as hard, like with woodworking or something, but it's just a different mindset, definitely.
Mm. Well, I think we need to change some mindsets around dementia and retirement, because it's a whole new way of life. And the work that you're doing, Alexi, is amazing. And I think we've got to have more people become aware of it. So thank you so much for joining me on the Ethical Evolution.
Oh, my pleasure. It's just been delightful. Glad to be part of your tribe, so to speak.
Yes.
You know, small changes make a difference, that's for sure.
That's it. One change at a time.
That's right.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Ethical Evolution podcast. If you're an ethical business owner, change maker, or holistic healer who's determined to make a change in the world and you need support to spread your message, visit ethicalchangeagency.com to collaborate.